Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Know-How is brought to you by CashFly.
Today on Know-How.
The tech of summer.
Welcome to Know How. It's a Twitch show where we build, bend, break, and do cat kitten claws. I'm not sure what that was.
I was throwing lots of balls in the air.
You were at the fair playing
that's,
that.
That's fine.
I think you got five tickets, actually. Exactly. Good job.
Well, folks, you may have noticed that this is sort of a special Know How. We only do this occasionally. Well, we've got all three of us on the desk. That's right. I'm joined by the lovely Miss Megan Maroney and Jason Howell.
DJ Jason Howell.
DJ Jason Howell, spinning Android at the sixes and nines.
He's also lovely. I mean, let's admit it.
I mean, it's true. Thank you for noticing.
Now, this is kind of a good Know-How, but it's a little sad because this is actually the last time that we'll be together like this.
All three of us.
This
forever and ever?
Forever and
ever.
You're
going to come back sometimes, though, right? Yeah?
But
sometimes?
I'll be a different person. Oh. That's what happens in the Vatican. You become.
You won't be able to talk when you come back, which is actually a bad thing when it comes to podcasting.
I think so. although for me, I don't know if that's necessarily a bad thing. I might need to shut up for a while. but we wanted to give the audience something special. So we thought Tech of Summer.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, we're midsummer right now, but it's funny. Because
are we already midsummer?
Right?
Well, I mean,
it feels like
mid-warmth.
Well, but, I mean, a lot of schools just let out.
Ago. When you think of it that way.
Well, I mean, when we're recording this a little earlier, I don't want to lift the curtain on the magic or anything, but by the time you see it, it might be midsummer.
That's right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And this is actually the time when families will start to take vacations. They don't normally do it in June; they do it late June, early July, because August is when their kids will start going back to school. So we thought, hey, you know what? Going out, we've all had road experiences. We've all had summer experiences. What are the pieces of tech that we'd like to take with us?
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what we're going to do.
Let's do it. Let's hit the road.
Let's hit the road. Now, the first thing that I like to carry with me, and I know the iPhone people are a bit more used to this because you have to use Bluetooth, but I have been looking for the perfect Bluetooth headset. Now, I don't mean Bluetooth speakers or headphones, because I know that's what you're dealing with right now.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm
but I mean,
that.
Yeah, an actual headset, something I can talk on, because every once in a while I do like to talk. And when I'm on summer vacation, sometimes I have to do calls and I don't want to have either speakerphone or holding a thing up next to my head. Do you have a favorite headset?
I just use my AirPods. They work great.
Yeah. So some of the earbuds actually work really good as headphones as well, right?
Yeah, totally. I mean, you know, I'm using a handful of Bluetooth earphones right now and, you know, testing calls on them a lot and then asking the person on the other end how the calls sound and all that kind of stuff. And I mean, they've really come a long way when it comes to that. But there are more purpose-built headsets, like I'm sure the one that you're going to show, that really bring the microphone a little bit closer to the mouth, right?
Yeah.
Like a lot of the other options, it's just far enough away that you get a lot of that ambient noise. If you're in the car and you've got an air conditioner on, you're going to hear that a lot more as opposed to that mic being really close to your mouth.
This is actually a headset that I used at CES for a podcast. I had it hooked up to my phone and I was Skyped back in to the studio. And because it's so good at noise cancellation, it was in the middle of a busy CES hall and you could just hear me.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah.
And actually, Scooter X is really close to this because he likes Plantronics. And the one I want to show off is this. This is the Plantronics Voyager Legend UC, if Burke would go to the overhead. And so there we go.
There we go.
So this is the Voyager UC. Now, you'll notice that it's in a case. Well, this case is also the battery. So you can get up to 7 hours of talk time, 11 days of standby on just the headset alone. This case doubles as a charger and a battery. It increases talk time to 21 hours. That's two full charges. And this will actually do a month on standby. Now, if you turn it off, you're not even using that much power. Now, yeah, exactly. The cool thing about this is it's got the little boom mic. It is around
little,
the ear.
A little floppy. I ain't going to lie. That would distract me a little bit.
Well, I mean, just once it's on your head.
I know.
You're not flipping it around.
Yeah, it's not rigid, though. That's actually a very good thing.
Well, this is so comfortable. Unlike those Sony earbuds that you just tried on, mm-hmm. the Xperia earbuds that were heavy and
which
ugly.
Which I'll talk about and yeah, laugh at a little bit.
This is kind of, you know, this is nice. Now, what I really like about this is it does UC features. So I can pair this with multiple devices. It will be paired with my phone so I can talk on my way to the office. When I get to my office, it will pair with my desktop or my office phone. So it becomes the one headset that I have to wear.
How does it know to drop one and then connect to another one?
Well, so there's a little selector switch in the back.
Oh, so you're just like, all right, I'm at office now. Office profile.
Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. It also does some of the cool Plantronic magic. It knows when it's off your ear. Mm-hmm. So like if you're using it to listen to something and you take it off, it will pause the source material.
That's nice. I like that.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's nice. And you can even activate like states. So if you want to set your UC client, Universal Communications, to away or here or ready or so on and so forth, you can just toggle it on the headset. Now, it also includes this. This whole unit's going to cost you about $100 to $120. It is on the pricier side. But again, I've used this same unit. This is my second one. I bought a new one because the first one finally died. The battery wouldn't charge anymore. But this is by far the best headset I've ever carried with me. And I swear by it. But they've also included this. If you want to use it on a laptop and you don't have Bluetooth, which would be amazing, or a desktop, the dongle is actually in here for you just to plug in.
Now, is that this is a straight Bluetooth dongle, Bluetooth built into the dongle. So once it's powered, it's sending off its own Bluetooth connection.
Correct. But
so it's not more stable than the Bluetooth that's part of your computer.
It actually is.
Oh,
it actually is. Right. So this is Bluetooth, but they've kind of tweaked it a little bit because I know it's going to just communicate with this. It won't communicate with any other device. So you lose a lot of the artifacts that you might otherwise get in a standard Bluetooth connection.
Nice.
So that's not bad. This is, again, the Plantronics Voyager Legend UC, 18 grams heavy. If you're looking for travel tech and you do need to make calls, I can't think of any better help than this.
The fact that the battery is in the case is really nice too. That's how the AirPods and most of the Bluetooth headsets are working that way. That is genius, especially for traveling when you don't have, you can probably, you know, plug in a little USB cord in there to charge up the battery case with the AirPods. It's a lightning case and... Mm-hmm. I think that is really nice.
It's a nice feature, and Plantronics really pioneered that. This was the one that made that feature normal.
Oh, that was pre AirPods.
This was pre. Oh, this
you
was
mean
very...
Apple didn't invent the battery charging case?
This first came out. The first version of this was 8 years ago, and it was one of at a time where there were a lot of Bluetooth headsets, but typically you would throw them in the bag and then they'd snap because they're not really designed for that kind of use. Well, they said, okay, if we're gonna give them a case, we have to give them an incentive to put it back in the case. Otherwise, we end up with the same problem. They said, well, what if we put the battery in it so that every time you put it back in the case, it gets fully charged again? Mm-hmm. There you go.
Yeah, easy to take that for granted now because, I mean, in my experience with these Bluetooth headphones, like, man, I can't imagine without, right? Like, if it was the kind of situation where these earphones, you know, usually hold 2, maybe 3, 4 hours of battery charge maximum, let's say, and you had to put it on a dock that's plugged into the wall.
You won't do it.
Like, I mean, how many times are you going to run into the situation where you need to use it and you forgot to put it there? At least if it's in a case, and this is a pretty slim case, too.
Yeah.
So you can imagine, you know, that, like, this would fit in a pocket. It's a little big, but it's slim enough that it would fit into a pocket. It's smaller than a cell phone. And if you keep a cell phone in your pocket, you keep one of these there too.
One note about durability, by the way. Last summer, I had this with me in Portland. Well, not this one, the one that came before it. And it fell out of my ear when I was getting out of the car. It was there overnight. Then I ran over it when I drove away in the morning.
What?
I was the whole day. I'm like, where is my headset? And I come back. I'm like, oh, there's my headset.
Was it okay?
It was fine. It worked for another 6 months before the battery finally gave out.
How are you able to drive over it with your car and it didn't like shatter into a million pieces?
I was surprised. Well, not the case. So it was just the headset.
A little.
Well, that's what I mean. Like even that. Like I guess so.
That's why it's rubbery.
Yeah. It passes the tire test.
There you go. So that's how we test tech here at TWiT. We run things over.
The Padre tire test.
Yeah. All right. So what do you got, Jason?
Well, I mean, I did a review of the OnePlus 6 not too long ago on the new screensavers and played around with it for quite a while. And I think as far as Android phones being released at this time of year, OnePlus is pretty good at having their big flagship happen at this time of year. And it's kind of a good thing because things slow down a little bit right about now. Things are starting to pick up again now that we're getting into summer. We're finding a lot of like mid-range mm-hmm. offerings in particular. So it's interesting how the phone releases through the year kind of follow these trends. So we're seeing a lot of mid-range devices. And when it comes to phones where you're getting a lot of value for a lower price and you're looking for an Android phone, it's really hard to recommend anything outside of the yeah. OnePlus flagship devices. They just continually, year after year, produce high-quality devices that don't cost an arm and a leg. And, you know, you get a lot of, like, modern stuff that you're looking for. So if this is the time of year that you need to replace, it's actually a pretty good time to do that. This OnePlus 6 has some really incredible specs inside that are competitive with even, you know, flagship devices on all the major players, and you're only paying like $529 to start.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got the glass back, which some people might argue is a downside because it makes it a little more fragile. But it kind of, you know, OnePlus has done a really good job with the design of their devices. To a lot of people, it's important to have a smartphone that feels and looks nice as well as performs well. And usually in the, you know, the mid-range category, that's a little bit harder to do. But OnePlus, you know, I'm continually impressed by just the fact that for that price range and compared to the, you know, the other offerings in that price range, their phones always look premium.
They do. I got to say, they kind of nailed the look with the 3. That's been what they've been using from then on. Now, this is the 5. So if you put the 5 and the 6 together, I think the 6 has a slightly larger screen. It's using AMOLED.
Yeah, it's definitely larger.
Yeah,
because, I mean, you can see with the 6, right? Like, you can see it up there at the top, the fabled notch is up there. They do have a software feature that allows you to cut that out.
Now,
this, however, this is the 5, right?
That's the 5.
So the 5, I mean, you're looking at the design layout, right, of the display on the front. All of that bezel on the top and the bottom is essentially eliminated
right.
on the 6. So same device size, more screen, something with a notch is going to enable that. And you can, you know, people can love or hate the fact that a notch exists, but what it does is it answers the continual like request by users that they want their displays to have minimal bezels.
And
right now,
edge.
If you want minimal bezel and you also want front-facing camera and an earphone up there or whatever, this is just what you got to do. Unfortunately, this is where we're at, so take it or leave it.
Now, the OnePlus series is not pure Android. They do use Oxygen, so you have to get used to that. It's actually, I find it pretty good. It's based on Android.
You end up getting like this instead of the Google feed. You get their kind of like their own, you know, version of this. You can of course install other launchers on here and redo it if you like. I mean, it's pretty close to stock. It's like stock plus. You get a lot of extra features in there of customization if you go into the settings and things like that. Like, I mean, and one example is that notch, right? Like, you can see the notch in the app tray. I can go ahead and go into settings. Here, I'll just do a search for notch display. And then where is it? There it is. And hide the notch area. And now,
no,
boom, it's gone.
No,
so you don't really know. And I mean, at that point, like, what's the difference?
I know.
Not only would you have had a bezel up there, but you also wouldn't have had any readable information in the bezel. But now you do. So I don't know. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I don't really care about the notches. Whatever.
I think probably in a year, I suspect that Apple's going to announce this new setting that will allow you to hide the notch, and they just invented it.
I don't get the notch haters. I really don't get. I mean, like when it first came out,
I think were we all on board that it looked ridiculous when it first came out?
No, I loved it. I'm like, look,
right immediately.
It's dead space. Why not use it?
Yeah, totally.
Do you mean
I definitely
they announced it, or when you first started using a phone with it?
Well, I mean, the first phone that I knew about that was doing with the notch thing was the Essential phone, right? They were doing it before
the
iPhone 10.
By the way.
And but we knew at that point that the iPhone 10 was rumored to have one. So we were kind of bracing for the fact that this was a new reality. But once you saw it with your own eyes, the first time I saw it, I was like, man, that looks weird. Like, why would you just cut a hole in the side of the display? What if I'm watching a movie? Do I want all that content to disappear? And what you realize, it really doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And your eyes get so used to it so fast.
Yes.
It's Yeah, it doesn't intrude the way you think it's going to.
Have you used the? I know they're super slow motion at 1080p, 240 frames per second. Have you done the super duper slow motion
on the OnePlus?
Yeah, it does 720p at 480 frames per second.
Great low light performance. By the way, this was taken in my living room at like 11 at night with ambient light two rooms away. And it shot that's that on the really wall. Good. It actually looked really great. I was really impressed with that. Let's see here. Night shots. This is super slow-mo. My dog jumping off the couch. If this is what you're talking about. Actually, it's like the... What is... Oh, sorry. What is it? The Million Dollar Man. Nope, apparently it's not going to...
His dog actually does move that slowly, though. That's full speed.
So, yeah. Looks not bad. The camera is actually here. That is one big improvement that they did on the OnePlus 6. They definitely spent some energy upgrading the camera components. And, yeah, I was pretty impressed with what I got.
That's what actually convinced me. Because I love my 5, but the camera focus... And the auto exposure is always off, and they told me that it was better on the 6. So, Jason, I know that you like to peel the plastic off of my devices.
Heck
so
yeah.
If you go to my overhead.
Like a human.
So I've done something special on the overhead.
Wait a minute.
Which you would have to push the button for.
It's the same one that you were
there
on.
There you go.
Wait a minute. So I get to do this?
I've got my OnePlus 6.
Oh, so even in this case, you wouldn't peel the plastic off to protect the box?
Yeah.
Don't you put the plastic off?
No, that's he protects it. It makes it new, so it's
you know when you get technology
new.
And there's a little plastic sheathing on it.
Oh
and
yeah, yeah.
Like some people like to leave it on. Some people like him like to leave it on.
Well, he's always peeling my plastic off, so I figured if I keep it in the plastic in the box.
Okay, so do you want me to tear it off? Is that what you're asking?
No.
Oh.
Did you grow up with a couch that was covered in plastic?
I grew up with a house that was covered in plastic.
Okay. See, that is all right, that's where that comes from.
We've got to undo that. Mm-hmm. We're gonna have to send you to some therapy to undo those.
All right, Megan, let's go into your road trip. Now you're all about protection. You got to protect the gear that you're carrying with you.
Sure, you can call it protection. I call it style.
Oh, wow.
I like to travel fancy. I think that there's a lot, whether you're driving on a road trip or you're flying, it's kind of like they treat you like cattle sometimes. You know, it's like you have no leg room and you're stuck in. So I like to dress fancy. I like to have fancy luggage and I like to have fancy stuff for my technology.
All right. Because
then it makes me feel like I'm not in a sweltering hot car with my 3 children screaming, are we there yet? Or, you know, stuck in a, you know, when you're fancy, when you feel fancy, it feels better.
I would love to borrow some of your style because as you might imagine, I don't have a lot.
Oh, sure you do. Okay, so let's start with the book cases from 12 South.
Wait, they're called book?
Book.
Book. This I like.
Because they look like books. So you can get these for all your devices. I have one for my MacBook, the 15-inch MacBook. And
oh, that is, your case does look like a book on your computer.
Yeah, so it is a stand, it is a sleeve. It also is protection, as you said. It'll protect because it's leather on 4 sides, completely protects it. But it also adds a level of threat, of theft protection. So
who's going to look at that and go, that's a laptop? Like, they're going to be like, I don't want a book.
I don't want to steal someone's old leather book. It looks like a spell book of some kind. so, I mean, I'm not saying, like, leave your laptop on, you know, the seat of your car when you go in and eat McDonald's. But
And no offense to spell books, by the way.
She's also not saying... not to do that.
Yeah. So, I'm not saying don't do that. So this is really nice. And it matches, told you I like style, it matches my iPhone 10 case, also from 12 South.
Wow.
And this is a book. So you would never suspect that this was a phone, would
the
you?
The back is a dead giveaway. But.
And it also is it carries your wallet. So if you take a look, don't I have a camera? There we go. So I could put my ID here. I could put, you know, you could slip your passport in there, shove your passport, all your credit cards. So you don't have to have a wallet and an iPhone case.
Nice.
And yeah, again, I'm not suggesting that this one, you'd have to definitely leave it like that. So someone would think it was a tiny little book.
I do kind of like the styling on this, though. It really, you know, the more I look at it, I'm like, okay, I totally get that.
So they're not cheap. The MacBook case is $80.
Okay.
So you got to really want it.
You got to want it.
And the iPhone case is $50. So, but you know, it's because they're real leather. And I don't like to eat the inside of leather, but I am a fan of leather.
It just, it feels right. It looks right.
I don't think they have anything for Android.
They don't have. Oh yeah, they just make 12 South.
Well, what you
just
could do is you could get the big book and just put a bunch of phones in there.
Yeah.
Right?
You could, I mean, you could probably, it wouldn't fit as nicely probably, but no, 12 South makes only products for Apple. Sorry.
Well, they know where their profit center is.
Yeah,
I guess,
totally.
I guess so.
Hey, I mean, the people who are going to pay for a premium style for the laptop or phone, they're probably iPhone users. I'm just going to throw that
out. The book arc for the Mac Pro, a horizontal desktop stand. So it takes that like cylindrical Mac Pro and puts it horizontal on your desktop.
Yeah,
some interesting stuff.
They have some great stuff. They have Apple Watch stands. So, they have iPad stands.
A horizontal cylindrical book?
But this one doesn't look like a book.
Not
it's
everything
more of
from
like
12 South. Yeah.
Maybe
like
a scroll.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That would work.
The scroll.
That would be the Apple Pencil case that looked like a scroll.
You can fold it out like this. Say, hear ye, hear ye.
Nice. I like their stuff.
I do too. So I think Pat and Quill is the next company I really like. They might make stuff for Android. I don't think they're only Mac stuff. But Pat and Quill makes a nice leather case for all of your dongles and all your little tech, like your SD cards and all that stuff. So, and your Apple Pencil. So this is the Tech Folio organizer. So I have my USB-C cord.
You
here.
Showed me one of these before that was sort of all nylon. This is
yes,
nicer.
The Grid-It. Last summer when we did this, I showed you the Grid-It.
Oh, there's where the pencil goes. That's
where it's for your Apple Pencil.
You don't just leave it plugged into the Lightning port
on my iPad. No. So you can have this little case here where you could, keep your secret stuff in there. And then, like I said, SD cards, because that's the thing that I always lose. And you got the GoPro, and then, you're halfway to your destination, and the kids are like, did we bring the SD card? And you say, no, we forgot. And then you have to travel around for the places that sell SD cards.
Am I the only one that kind of scrolls away micro SD cards with their adapters just like in places? Because I'm always like that. I'm always, oh, dang it, I took it out and I forgot to bring it.
No, that's a good idea.
So you have, you just store them everywhere?
I have, three in my glove compartment.
Really? That's smart. I should do that. That's like storing up for the winter. So the Pad and Quill Tech Folio Organizer is $89. So really.
But hey, you know what? Style ain't cheap. If style was cheap, it wouldn't be style. It would just be Padre.
Right. So take a road trip instead of flying. Save the money that you would have spent on plane tickets and buy a bunch of leather stuff.
Mom, why are we driving? Because mommy needed a book.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, it's true.
Not bad. All right, I'm going to come back to a bit more practical tech.
That wasn't practical.
This is practical, but it's stylish. I want unstylish. Okay. And I've been looking for USB-C devices for a while, and I've tested them from Kingston. I've tested them from OWC. I saw one at PepCon we went to in the city not too long ago from Iogear. And I thought, wow, that's a dock I actually want to carry with me. It's this. This is the GUD3C32.
It's good.
It's good. I call it the good. This is the big good.
It's really good.
Now, if you go to my my little side shot, this thing is going to cost about $130 based on where you get it from. I've actually found this on sale for about $110. But the nice thing about there's a few nice things. First, this is all aluminum. It's actually kind of light. It's way lighter than I thought it would be. It's got 60-watt power delivery. 15 watts is used by the dock, and the rest gets passed on to the laptop. So you've got a single USB-C connector that comes back to your computer. Three USB 3.0 ports. It's got one SD card reader plus a TF/micro SD card reader. 1 gigabit Ethernet, which I really like because they always leave this out, and it means I have to connect another dongle to the dongle. I've got a mini display port, HDMI, VGA. Yes, believe it or not, people actually still use that. And then here you've got the power port. So this is where you put USB-C power in. Now, a few things about this. You can use multiple displays, but it's a little bit limited. So single display only if you're using a USB-C equipped Mac, just because the operating system hasn't really caught up to a lot of this stuff. For Windows, you can use the mini display port and the HDMI at the same time for multiple monitors. So that's three monitors, the one on the laptop plus HDMI plus display port. You can have on both of those channels 4K 30 hertz refresh is the max. If you use the VGA, it's just VGA. That's unfortunate. That's a limitation of using an analog part. But this is quite possibly one of the best designed pieces of gear because of this. If you come back to those, it's actually slanted. It's more of a wedge. And these little things, the little divots that you can see in the, on the top there. That's actually for the feet of the laptop. My laptop fits perfectly into that, so it kind of holds it. And it lifts it off the surface, which keeps the laptop cooler.
Yeah, okay.
Have you ever had that problem where you're doing, like, say, video editing, and then it's just priming and priming, and everything slows down because the processor derates?
Can't keep up.
Right. Yeah. Well, this actually lifts it off the surface.
Smart.
It makes it actually better to type. It's nice. More comfortable to type. Plus, you're now creating that air channel underneath your laptop. This is a really well-designed dock, and I got to give it to iOGear. This is probably going to be the one I'm carrying. I carry a Nucleum with me right now, but that ain't bad.
Yeah, it's nice and solid. I would have thought that it would feel like plasticky. But
no, it's aluminum.
This is aluminum.
It's
aluminum.
Very stylish.
Nice. Yeah. And this
it's not leather, but
this will work on USB-C equipped MacBooks as well, so Windows, Macs, and a Chromebook. So if you use a Chromebook, that's just fine.
Do you say you're not stylish?
I know.
You sell yourself short.
I'm fancy. I'm so fancy. Now, if that's too big for you, there's also this. This is $90. This is an iOGear USB-C travel dock. Personally, I would pay a little bit extra and get the big one. But if you are super limited for space, this is not bad. Again, in this size, I prefer the Kingston Nucleum because it has multiple USB-C ports, which I like because it allows me to hook up things like my USB-C external monitor. But this is not bad. Again, I've got three USB ports, two on this side, one on this side. I've got an SD card reader and a micro SD card reader. HDMI with support for 4K at 30 hertz. Gigabit Ethernet. A lot of these little mini docks leave that out. And again, I'm so into docks that have that because I like wired connectivity.
Mm-hmm.
And if my USB-C dock doesn't have it, it means I'm hanging a dongle off the dongle and maybe another one off that dongle.
You got dongles with your dongles?
I got dongles on my dongles because, dog, I love dongles. Right. So that's my travel gear. It's going to be probably this one. I like the Gude for when I need to travel and I need something a bit more substantive because I'm going to be hooking up a lot of peripherals. And I'd either carry this one, which is the smaller USB-C travel dock, or a Kingston Nucleum. That would be my USB-C gear. Megan, you're going to move from style to power.
Yes, and I even have a stylish power source, too, that you can pay $300 for if you want to. Now, you also said, like, maybe let's tone it down on the pricey stuff. So you offered this Anker Power Core, which is only $80. And they do about the same. The Anker Power Core has two 15-watt USB ports and one 30-watt USB-C port.
Right,
and
TD. Yeah.
It has the IQ right here that will let you plug in a lightning port or will let you lightning
right.
You know,
it's just
lightning or USB-C, and it knows how fast
precisely
it'll charge. So sometimes, you know, if you have like one of these that has a bunch of USB connections, you'll plug in your iPhone and then it doesn't charge at all and you wonder what happened, or it charges very slowly. So this will do that. And for $80, it's pretty good.
It's a little heavy.
Yeah, hold this one. This one's very heavy.
Oh, jeez. This is like a weapon. Baton. Yeah,
yeah.
You could defend yourself with one of
but
those.
But it comes in different colors. So
you can hang it in your shower, too.
And also, it you could, because it is dustproof and water resistant.
Oh, well, then obviously, IPV6, that's why 67, the rope is there.
67, yeah. 66.
Yeah, so, and it comes in red and blue. This is for if you really do want to. So you can see there's the ports on that side and on the other side. So there's a USB-C and the two USB. And then on the other side, this is where you can actually, this is an AC plug.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, nice.
So that's why it's $300. Okay. So you could actually plug in, if you don't, like my, I don't have the USB-C. I have just like the old thing.
I want
so,
something that does that.
Yeah.
That's when you're going camping, sometimes that AC plug.
Yes, for camping, it is really good.
Absolutely.
So that is really what, you know, sets it apart from these. Like, you can't plug an AC into this $80. But, I mean, how often are you going to use it? Is it really worth $300?
This is, you know, for me, this is kind of a car thing again. I keep a battery pack. It's in my trunk hooked up to the accessory port, so it's always charged.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
If anything ever happens, have a ton of power that could power my phones in case I need to call. And then it can actually even jumpstart the car, which is kind of cool. This could also double as a, what do they call that, a club. Seriously, this is substantive.
Like you could hit someone with it? Yeah.
Is that why they call it the saber?
Maybe, yeah. So it comes from Romeo, and this is their first consumer product. They do enterprise technology. They're an EV battery company. And so this is their first.
That makes sense.
Product, and I do like it. I mean, I'm hoping the price comes down a little bit, but it is good to just have it in your car for safety. It has safe charge on it.
86 watt hours of capacity. That's so much storage. That's great.
Yeah.
It's a great emergency kind of kit for your car. I love it.
The other feature is, like, if you're traveling and you didn't bring your weights and you need to work out, like, it is so heavy that you could hit people or just exercise.
Why is it that we're always defaulting to, and you could cause serious bodily harm?
This is a really nice device, and I mean, maybe they'll come out with a smaller version of it that doesn't have so much power, that could be more affordable. But
I will say this, this actually does look like something that Tesla would release, right? It's kind of got that style. It looks kind of cool. Especially if it comes in red.
Mm-hmm. It'd be a good experiment to just see how long you could live off just that. Like how many.
Yeah, right.
One of the other things that I'll mention about this.
Chicken Head says, you may get charged with battery if you're not careful.
Oh, assault and battery. Get it?
Oh, very good, Chicken Head.
One of the things, if you go to this the side shot, a lot of power packs are charged via USB, which can take for freaking ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Anker is actually charged via USB-C, which is better. But this will actually take DC in. So which tends to charge a lot faster than either USB or USB-C.
But you can charge it through these other methods as well, can you? Because what if you don't have your proprietary, your DC in?
That's a good question. I don't know if they've made the USB-C port here bidirectional.
Oh, that would be nice. It would be nice bonus.
It would be nice.
I don't know if you can. Yeah, the power cord is. But it lasts several days. Like, you could charge it before you left, and it would probably last you, a week vacation.
Well, that's a lot of capacity.
Easily charging your laptop a couple times, charging, 5 or 10 iPhones. I don't know who travels with fewer than 5 or 10 iPhones. If you figured out how to do that, let me know.
Okay, can we talk about that a little bit? Because it used to be, oh my gosh, so-and-so carries 2 phones. What a... I always have at least 2 phones whenever I'm traveling.
Well, I only carry 1 phone, but then I travel with a pack. So, and they each have their own phones and their own iPads.
I just assume at some point one of my phone will break. Because of all the international, because that has happened to me before. Either I lose it or it breaks, and I'm international, and now I don't have anything. Well, what I do is, because they're both Google and they're both on my account, all the data is synced across. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if it happens to get destroyed, stolen, lost, whatever it might be, I will still have the contact information and the maps that I've saved up, so I can get back to where I have to go. Is that just me? Is that just a paranoid thing?
No, I've definitely traveled with multiple phones, but it helps when you have multiple phones to travel with. Yeah.
This is true.
Not a lot of people have multiple phones to travel with, but it is nice to do as kind of a backup, tuck something away just in case.
I've got my OnePlus 5 as my primary, and I've got the Essential that Leo gave me as my backup.
Yeah.
Yeah, because sometimes you need a notch.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's stay with the theme of power, because, of course, I love power. And there are 2 products I do want to show off because I've been traveling with both of them. And I'm split. Now, the first one you have seen before, it's this one. This is the Anker 60-watt premium power source. There you go. This has 60 watts of power. It's 4 2.4 amp USB ports, 1 USB-C PD port. Now, that 60 watts is shared between all of these. So if you start hooking up a lot of devices, it will actually reduce the amount that's available for PD, power delivery. And I've actually gotten to the point where it will no longer charge my laptop. It will power it. It will keep it from discharging. But I'm using so much power on the other devices that it's just not passing enough back through the laptop. This is about $50. Now, that's actually come up, because when we first looked at it, it was about $40. But they've been in so much demand that the price has just gone up and up and up. However, at that PepCon, I found another one, and I've started traveling with this, and I got to say, I actually like it even more. This is the iOGear USB-C 72-watt 4-port charger. Now, it's only got 3 USB 3 ports, but instead of charging at 2.4 amps, it's going to do the full 3 amps per port, so I can fast charge my devices. Plus, of the 72 watts, 60 watts is dedicated to the PD. So it doesn't matter how many devices I plug into my USB ports, nice. I will always get that 60 watts going to my laptop, which is nice because, you know, it means I've got a little extra margin for error there, right? I can charge up my phones and my battery and my laptop all at the same time. It's the same weight as the Anchor. It's actually a tiny bit smaller than the Anchor, and it's actually cheaper. This is going to run you about $40 versus $50 for the Anchor. I like them both. But if I'm only traveling with one, I think the Anchor's actually going to get replaced by this IO Gear. So, IO Gear really made a good push this year. They were at PepCon. They were at CES. They're putting out more products that that are focused on the mobile professional, which I really, really like. Because that's where they originated, and then they kind of spread out into all this other stuff, and they maybe lost their way. I think they're on the right path again, just like Anchor. When Anchor refocused their product lines, they did so much better. I think IO Gear is trying to imitate that. They're going to duplicate it.
Yeah, nice.
What do you think?
I like it. I like the compact kind of quality of that.
Yep. Now, we're going to get to you in a bit because we've got some special stuff. But first, Megan, I want to see a cam that hoots.
Okay. It doesn't actually
hoot.
Universal. The owl camera.
Oh.
It's a dash cam that, you know, a lot of times when we review products and we think, oh my gosh, this is the greatest idea. It's going to work so well. And then we sort of, you know, use it for a couple months and we're like, But
yeah, that's why I like the long-term review. It's like, am I still using this 6 months later?
Yes. So I'm not at 6 months yet, but we first took a look at this in March. So April, May, June. Almost four months. It's the Owl camera, and it is not cheap either. It's about $349, but that comes with a one-year bundle of the camera and the LTE service. So it works through LTE.
This looks like a medical device.
It sticks into your camera's dash. So you shove it in there, and then you can't really see it, so it just pops above. You know,
the dash of your car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
the window's right here.
Yeah. The glass is here and it sticks in there. And they have different, it comes with three or four of these different. So depending, you know, your glass might be shaped
in a different way. I like that rather than suction cupping it.
Yeah. Those always fall off for me, the suction cups.
At the worst time.
This suction cups to your glass a little bit, but it also, you know, steadies.
More as like additional support, but not entirely. On it.
So that's what it looks like if you're watching.
Is this a magnetic connector?
It is that connects to your ODB port. So this goes across your dash and it comes with a little tuck tool that lets you tuck it in to your dashboard so you can't see it. And then it goes under and then here it connects to your ODB port. So if you already have something else connected there is such a thing as an ODB port dongle. I learned that, you know, you can have more than one thing connected to your ODB port. ODB port, yes. So it's always on, which is really nice. It gets power from there. So if my car is parked, if you're on a road trip and you're parked at the Motel 6 and you're up in the hotel and you will get notifications, like alert notifications. Whoa. If someone just say, let's say that you did put your book in the front seat of your car and someone was like, that's not a book, that's a MacBook and I'm going to steal it. You would get video of that. You get an alert that someone at the time and you can run down or you can just talk to them, you know, like the Ring security. You could just say, hey, that's my book. That's my spell book. Don't steal it.
Or I'll cast a spell on you.
May or may not work. So it's really nice. So a lot of dash cams come with an SD card. And so that can store all the information. This doesn't. Everything goes in the cloud, which it means that you only really have 24 hours of footage. So you can go back 24 hours. But if you forget and you're like, I wanted to see whether or not somebody, you know, took something out of my car and, you know, it was 3 days ago, you can't do that. But I've gotten somebody pulled out in front of me once and like I could go back and look at that.
It's, you know, it's kind of nice when you have a dashboard camera. It puts away that little bit of doubt you have of, well, what happens if something happens and it's just my word against their word. It's
right.
Like, no, if you've got a camera, you've got video footage. You know, one of the other things I like about this is I'm always afraid of when I mount a dashboard camera that someone's going to steal it. I don't always park in some of the best parts of the city. And it, you can tell, oh, yeah, that's
right.
an
it
add-on.
It looks very techy. Yeah,
break the window and grab it.
Yeah.
If that's tucked in
yeah.
and installed properly, it's going to look like part of the car.
Yes, yeah. absolutely. And you're going to see if someone stole it. And a light will come on, and you know you can talk to them and say, hey, and you know that might scare them off.
And I think the important thing that I think I missed earlier when you started talking about this, but I'm realizing now, is kind of that emphasis on the fact that it has LTE yeah. built
yes.
in. So it's not necessarily saving on the device. It's not requiring, like, to connect with your phone once you get in the car to then pass the information and, mm-hmm. and send it to the cloud.
It's always connected.
Yeah. So the second something happens, that's in the cloud. And then if they did decide to steal that, you still have that footage.
Right.
Because exactly. it's up in the cloud.
You have it. Yeah. yeah. And then, yeah, so there's a subscription fee for that after a year. It comes with, you know, for the $350 you get. So here, you can also just Ooh. Tell it to record anything at all. So like I have these clips. So here are just like when we got in and out of the car, and it, you can see it's a front and back. So interior and right. the front.
Oh, wow.
Which is really nice. And let's see if I find one. So, you know, we went to Maker Faire with you, Padre. My son Huck and I went.
You can do your very own carpool karaoke.
We sort of did that. So you just like say, hey, presto, and then it starts recording. And then I have this forever. I think it'll take a second to download. And then it recorded us, so we can say this is memory.
There you are. And now if your son picks his nose, mm-hmm. you'll know.
So is this something that you would make sure that is on anytime your kids are driving a vehicle?
Oh, yes. Well, my 15-year-old daughter is starting to learn how to drive. Oh. And so, but I think with road trips, like you never know what you're going to see. And so when you say, hey, presto, it records just like a couple, you know, it saves right. a couple seconds right. before that. So, yeah, we have
that's
all
cool.
these where, so that's the outside.
And the quality looks really good.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can save, like, I dropped something off in the car and it thought I was stealing something, but I was really just dropping off my Tide Pods. And
actually, so Scooter X says recording audio in the car in California can be a legal issue. Everyone has to be aware that audio is recording. Actually, the law changed. As long as one person in the party knows the audio is being recorded, you're fine.
Mm,
so you know because you recorded.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, yeah, and you are saying something. So, yeah, next I'll start doing some carpool karaoke because that'll be.
Because you can now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. we are, like, once you're gone, we're going to be doing the Internet of Things. We're going to have an episode devoted to Internet of Cars.
As you
stuff.
Should.
So, we'll work on my karaoke.
So, when you're driving, it's always recording, period.
Yes, but it's only saving.
Parked, but it's only saving.
24 hours worth.
So right. Okay. So you don't have to, okay, what I was trying to figure out is do you always have to say okay, you know, or presto or whatever in order for it to record? But no, when you're driving, it's always going. Mm-hmm. When you're parked, it does it when you say the thing.
Right.
Okay.
Well, no, well, when you're right? driving, you, well, what that did, when I said the thing, then it saved that. So I have that forever.
Oh,
so like I said, we're headed to Maker Faire, and then it saves it as we're headed to Maker Faire. So
Got
if
it.
I ever want to relive
that's
that
really
memory
neat. I like
or
that
like
device.
Include it in a
they
video.
should have it sync up to Google Photos. That would
yeah.
be cool, right?
Yeah. The creator worked on the iPod and he's done, and I think he was worked with Nest too. So it's really nicely designed. And after using it for 4 months, it is something that is, it's a peace of mind. I like having it there. And yeah, I can save when my daughter gets behind the wheel for the first time. I can save those videos for posterity.
You got to figure at some point, having a forward-looking, backward-looking, and cabin-looking camera is just going to become a standard in cars.
Yeah.
Right? Or, I mean, the first place it's probably going to be is like, if you have it, then you can get an insurance deduction. But no, it makes sense to actually include that as the basic package.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. All right. I want to look at another camera. And actually, this is a very specific use case. I wanted a camera that could basically last forever. One of the things that we've been playing around with know-how is solar-powered devices. And this is actually a device that you could solar power and have that be the only power you ever give it. And it's this. This is the Reolink Argus 2. This is going to sell for about $130. You can get straight from the Reolink website. Now, if you go to the overhead camera, this is what it looks like. There you go. So it's got a magnetic base, and under the base, there's actually a standard mounting point. Now, this has got a little, I like to call it the camera condom. It's kind of protects it. This camera is a pod that will record for, get this, 180 days in standby or 960 minutes of motion recording of live video which is an amazing amount. It's connected via Wi-Fi. Now, I can charge it. They actually have an accessory, a solar panel. So if I wanted to make this an outdoor camera, I can have a solar panel connected to the USB port. And that's enough. Just the sun it will get during the day. That's enough to keep this thing topped off, which is kind of amazing. Now, the other cool thing I love about this is the way that you set this thing up. So right now it's paired with a different phone. I'm going to go ahead and reset it. Open up the micro SD card slot, which, by the way, that's how you would record. You record on a micro SD card slot. I'm going to reset.
Factory reset succeeded.
All right. So once it boots up, what you do to set up, you have the... I have to turn the brightness down. There you go. So I'm going to add a camera. And then... there's a QR code on the back, and I just do that. Boop, boop. I'm going to connect it to the Wi-Fi. I heard the voice prompt. I'm connecting to TwitGuest, and the password is BrickGuest.
The speaker, I have to say, is a little crackly, like it's a little distorted.
She's just unhappy right now.
Yeah.
Okay, now check this out. So I have to pair the camera back to the phone, so I just do that.
About 20 centimeters.
Oh, wait, I turned the brightness down. There we go.
Oh.
So it inherited the settings, and there we go. Now I've got a camera. Thank you. Now this is going to be... oh, succeeded. Let's connect to the device like... so, I'm going to name my camera. You know what? We're gonna name this Know-How. Because of, Know-How.
I don't understand why you would do that, but okay.
All right.
It's your show.
Oh, I just put the password one way now. Way too many times. You all know the password now.
I used this camera for a while, and I really liked it. I have the videos saved from my backyard.
Right? It's kind of cool. And that's it. So this is the live view right now. The frame like doesn't look great because it's not designed to stream it. It's not a streaming camera. It's designed to record on the SD card inside the camera. And when you do that, it's really good 1080p video.
You want to see?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this, I just saved it to my, I saved it to my photo album. So this is,
ooh, that's nice.
That's what my backyard looks like. And there's, I guess I'm moving it around and setting up the solar. Or am I stealing something?
Or are you stealing?
Here's my dog.
Who are you?
No, but if you're looking for a camera that can travel with you, that will last forever on battery and can be solar powered or just powered off your USB port every once in a while to recharge it, the Reolink Argus 2, about $130 or so.
That looks great.
Yeah, I liked it.
Nice.
Yeah, just nice. Check out what the dog's doing in the backyard.
Now, I want to get to mine next, but Jason, let's go ahead and kick yours off because I want to see these projectors.
Okay. Well, I don't know if these are necessarily 100% new to the show.
They're right? They're not.
Like, we've shown them off, but I wanted to play around with them because I like to immerse myself in all things Android. And the Nebula projectors that we saw months ago, Padre gave me the chance to kind of play around with these a little bit. And I thought it kind of fit into the theme in the sense that when you're traveling, you might, these are small enough. Well, one of them is anyways, that you might actually consider, packing it depending on how much luggage you're bringing along or whatever. You might have a reason for it. So we got two different things here. We've got the Anchor Nebula Mars. This is the portable cinema home theater, which is definitely portable when you're talking about a projector in that sense. But I mean, yeah, it's big, it's heavy.
Yeah, I mean, we should note though, half of that is a battery.
Yeah, which is really great. I mean, you can power this for quite a while. 19,500 milliamp hour battery, about 3 hours of operation. If you're using this completely unplugged, of course, you do have DC in, so you can have it plugged in. But if you need that wireless, you could watch almost an entire Godfather Or
almost.
Anyways, I think it's around 3 hours for that movie. And then next to it, of course, I have the Anchor Nebula capsule. This is the kind of smaller profile, smaller form factor.
This one I really like.
Way more portable.
This is, I mean, yeah, when you think about portable projector, that's a portable projector.
Yeah, I mean, this thing is a tiny little tank. Both of them have the mounting screws on the bottom. So if you had something like this, which I'm borrowing from Anthony, you could, you know, get some distance on it, get some height off of it, and shine it onto a screen or your wall. We were kind of playing around with these in the office yesterday and had the lights out, which ended up being kind of weird eventually. But when I had the projectors on, it wasn't weird. It made sense, and you could see just how bright these things were. You do notice, though, the big difference between the lumens that you get, the brightness that you get out of the big one, which is 500 ANSI lumens, versus the capsule, which is 100. So, I mean, this is a fifth. The smaller one is a fifth of the brightness that you get out of the big one, and it really shows when you've kind of got it working.
Now, if you're used to just the big projectors, ANSI lumens are, it's a slightly different scale. So 500 ANSI lumens would be the equivalent of like a 3,000 lumen projector, and 100 ANSI lumens would be about the equivalent of like a 500 lumen projector. Still, as Jason said, huge difference in the brightness.
Yeah, so I'm kind of powering them up right now. But you do get some really interesting features in both of them. I'm really happy to see that they have the keystone correction, right? Basically what that means is, if you see on the screen here, I don't know if you want it. Well, actually, I have to wait for it to power up for it to actually do it. But essentially what it means, it's not a horizontal shift. Like, you can see on the screen, it's a little wobbly, and part of that is because the screen's
actually crooked. It's not the projector that's crooked.
But if it's tilted like this, let's say, and you see how it's skewed, boom, it does a correction and it straightens it. If it's tilted like this to where the top is out, boom, it corrects it and it straightens it no matter where you are. You're best off, no matter what, having it as straight on as possible, though. Because when it's doing that, it's taking...
Yeah, you're losing some resolution.
You're losing some resolution in order for it to actually pull that off. So you really want to kind of raise the projector as best as possible. But, I mean, as you can see right here, the screen that we're actually projecting this on is about the same size as one of my monitors, you know, in my office. You know, you can make a really nice... widescreen display out of either of these. You can see, if you go back to that for a second, I think, do I have this powered on? No, I don't. I'll let it power up here. But on the capsule, you've got a little bit more of like a manual focus. There's actually a slider on the side that does the focus. On the larger one, you have to kind of jump into the remote. Both of them have remotes included to where you can make those adjustments manually. But you can also get a lot more settings on setting up your...
Right.
Your view.
But you could also use your smartphone as a remote for the capsule.
Yeah, you can sync them. Well, both of them actually have their own smartphone apps that you can then use for things like typing into a keyboard.
You mean I don't have to go click, 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 click,
click. It's the worst thing in the world to have to enter your 20-character password with a remote on a screen. Not to mention everybody gets to see it while you enter it in. So go to the wide here for a second, or the shot that shows the screen, and I'll show you the difference between the brightness just real quick. You can see the capsule is ample brightness based on what we have right here.
That's turned all the way up.
And this one...
That's turned almost all the way down.
Yeah, the larger one turned all the way down. I mean, you just get a lot more sharpness out of this. You get a lot more punch. And depending on how large you're scaling this onto a wall, this larger version is going to allow you to make the image really large.
And someone just Rickrolled us. Who has access to the capsule?
Who did that? That's not okay.
I'm betting it's Anthony.
What a jerk.
He's airplane.
He knows.
He's always watching the stream.
We totally got Rickrolled on this show.
See, it was him. I knew it. I knew it.
That's a good point. Anthony was demonstrating that this is AirPlay capable. There's software on here, even though it's running Android.
That was actually really good.
Yeah. If you have an iOS device, you can AirPlay to it. One thing you cannot do is cast to it. It does not have cast capability, so it's not a destination point for cast. And that is one thing that I also found. It has its own app store for installing things. Yeah. So it's running Android, but it's not necessarily like the Play Store where you can just install anything on there easily.
You can install every Android app on
there. You could probably sideload, I imagine, if you got nerdy with it.
The best bet is if it works for Android TV, it will probably load on one of these.
Yeah.
Not totally. Guaranteed.
Totally. But yeah, it's cool stuff. Ooh. Oh my goodness. No. What did I eat?
Wait. Hold on.
Kind of. They're not quite the same, but almost. Neat stuff, though. And I love how far we've come with these kind of small, compact, lightweight projectors, you know?
They can't keep these in stock. These will sell. Yeah, these are selling for about $350, and they can't keep them in stock. Those are closer to $600. Not as popular. I mean, again, because if you're going to carry a portable projector, you want a portable projector.
Right.
And this is about as portable as it gets.
I like that for a road trip, like with your kids, so they're not like all on their own devices. Like you could say, oh, let's all watch a movie together.
Yeah,
and
totally.
Then, you know.
Yeah.
And by the way, this can also be used sort of like one of those speaker towers, like an Echo or even a HomePod.
Oh.
Yeah, there's a speaker built into it.
It's a 360-degree Bluetooth speaker, and the battery life for this is actually pretty good. It'll do about 30 hours in speaker mode. It'll do 4 hours in movie mode.
Nice. So. And I should also mention, I don't think I pointed this out, there is HDMI ins on the back of both. So you're not just limited to the software inside. You can actually channel your own input, maybe your laptop display, maybe you want a second display temporarily where you happen to be. A lot of flexibility with these things.
Well, Anthony has a specific use case for this. He wants to mount it this way and project onto a ceiling above his bed so that he could watch TV.
I don't even need to get up to watch my TV anymore.
Hey, Anthony. It's all good.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Now, one last bit of kit. I showed this off briefly, and I didn't want to give my impressions until I had a chance to really use it. We thought about using multiple monitors. I always carry that USB-C Zen screen from Asus. I love that thing. However, sometimes I need an actual HDMI input, and the Zen screen unfortunately does not do that. This is a G-Chic. This is a G-Chic 1503H portable monitor. Now, it looks a lot like those USB screens that I carry with me, except this has HDMI and VGA inputs. There's a couple of features I really like about this. I love the fact that it uses the stand that's integrated into the actual monitor. So I can just pick my height, set that up, and now I can put it down and run it. Also, I love the fact that they did not use proprietary ports. I've played with a couple of these monitors in the past, and they'll give you cables that if you lose those cables, you're done.
Mm.
You have to order another set from them because they said, you know, we want to keep it small, and therefore we had to change the cabling port in order to do that. They didn't do that. G-Chic did not do that. This is a standard USB-C for powering it, and then a micro HDMI for connecting. Now, how do I know that it's standard? Because I actually did lose the cables.
Mm.
They're probably sitting somewhere in Rome right now, but I can power it via this. So I could have this hooked up to any power source. In this particular case, I'm going to hook it up to the USB port of my laptop. And this will power the laptop and then I'll power the monitor. And then I can hook up this HDMI cable to anything. I could hook it up to a portable gaming console. I could hook it up to Nintendo Switch, to a PS4. I could have this connected to a DVD or a Blu-ray player. And this just becomes another HDMI screen. This is super invaluable to have.
Nice.
Whenever you're on the road. Unfortunately, I get kind of used to USB-C. So this is HDMI. I'm just going to plug this into the side of my laptop. And you should get, as we get the click. There you go.
I saw a little.
Look at the flicker. There we go.
And
this is just a monitor. Now, I know that doesn't sound amazing, but if you're ever traveling, especially if you're traveling with a lot of maker gear and you want to hook up things like a Raspberry Pi or some little device you've just created, this is absolutely invaluable.
If you're a video editor on the road like that,
yeah.
That's such a great kind of extra option for you.
So I travel with a Predator laptop because that's got enough power. It's got a 15-inch screen. But then on either side, I have a USB-C 15-inch screen and then this 15-inch screen on the other side. So I have a 3-monitor setup on the road whenever I'm traveling. And the whole thing, including that big, heavy laptop, is about 12 pounds. which is amazing. Again, this is it's 1.75 pounds. It does have a VESA mount if you want to mount this in your workspace. It has speakers, although the speakers are horrible, so I would use the audio port instead. Go ahead and hook up your headphones. It's a 1080p 15.6 inch IPS screen, so it has a really wide viewing angle. Look at that, almost 180 degrees, and you can still see it. And then a little less on the vertical. But one of the other things about this that even the Zen screen doesn't do is this adjustable monitor mount has three basic positions for you to choose. So you can get the right amount of angle. That's actually been a big problem with USB monitors, which is they have one position. So I'm always like propping it up on books to get it at the right angle. Tiny bit expensive. This is going to run you $350. And you can get a USB-C screen for $100 less or so. However, if you're one of these people who needs multiple inputs on your monitor and you want to hook up a bunch of different devices, there is nothing like this. There are a couple that will do lower resolutions. There are a couple that are really, really nasty because they have proprietary ports. But as far as a monitor that I trust, that I've done a long-term review of, that I'm still carrying with me, even though it does cost me weight on my travels, the Zhishik 1503 is probably my favorite.
G chic.
Again, as everything on this show has been chic. Very chic.
You are chic.
You know, this thing should have a scarf.
It should, right?
that's what I'm thinking.
So that's $349.
Yeah.
Because somebody in the chat room was looking at it and said $800.
That's a different one. I don't know what you're looking at.
Yeah. Well, that one said 800 Canadian, and I think it was just an entirely different one. It was the 2501C, or is this the 250? No, this is the 1503H.
There is a version that is touch, so you might be looking at the touch version. Need the touch. I've got touch on my laptop, and so anything that I need for application-wise that's touch, I'll put it on the center of my console. But the other two are for, like, in Adobe Premiere, it's where I put my tools, it's where I put my assets, and the timeline's on the center screen. So check it out, see if you like it, and remember, you can always order from Amazon. If you don't, just return it.
Nice.
There you go. Well, I think we've done it.
We have everything that we need to hit the road. Never mind any, clothes that we need to pack, whatever. You don't need that stuff.
No.
All you need to do is get one suitcase, throw all the stuff that we've shown you today, and you'll have a successful road trip.
See, here at Know How, we're always giving you the practical knowledge.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Should we road trip to Rome?
We should.
Rome trip. Let's do it.
Rome trip. You know what? We have style over there.
Yeah, I guess. Actually,
that's pretty much all we have. Mm-hmm. I've never lived in a house where my ceiling is 30 feet away.
Mm. Could the projector go that far if you're laying in bed?
Huge picture. Yeah.
The screen on the ceiling would be the same size as your smartphone, basically, in front of your face.
You got to remember, the house was designed at a time way before air conditioning, so that was air conditioning. The only way you could cool it off is by having these super high ceilings so the heat would rise away from you. And now we do have air conditioning, and now we just have really, really tall rooms.
Mm. Cool. So then I can stand in there, and I won't hit my head on the ceiling. Yeah.
You could have three of you standing on each other's shoulders, and you wouldn't hit the ceiling. Jason, Megan, again, this is the last episode I'll be doing with you. You're going to be taking it over, so the show is in very good hands. Do you want to give them a preview of what's going to be coming up in 2 weeks?
Sure. Florence Ion, who hosts All About Android with Jason, is going to be my co-host for Know How IoT. So we're going to cover the Internet of Things, smart homes, just everything, all the devices that connect to the internet and make us totally insecure. And, our threat radius increases. We're going to have the biggest threat radius ever. So we're going to be working on that, and we're already hard at work. And if you have ideas, questions, things you want to know about IoT, Megan at twit.tv, or you can reach Florence. She is O That Flow on Twitter.
Right. And we are moving to a seasonal format of Know How. So the whole idea is do 10, do 12 weeks of a season, and then you move on to the next topic, the next host. And you're taking up the second segment. Did you have an idea of what you wanted yet?
I have an idea, but I think it's a little early because we're still kind of in discussions and everything. So I'm not going to give a whole lot of details on it, but let's just say it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be someone that you recognize and know.
See, I really love this format because with the two of you, And with you having to do that season and then move on, it really gives you more time to develop an idea. A lot of time on know-how, it was sort of like, well, we need something we can have next week, so it's going to be this. Yeah. You can say, hey, I've got 3 months. What's the best possible show I can create? I love that.
Yeah, pick it apart from many different angles. A lot of things like IoT is a prime example. There's a million different ways and directions that you can go in that, a million different answers, you know, to questions that people have, both smaller scale and larger scale and everything. So I think that's the point, kind of dive in and dissect from all angles.
Yeah. Of course, folks, if you want to get any information from the show, you got to go to our show notes at twit.tv/KH. That's for know-how. There you'll find all the links for the products that we just talked about. You'll find all our back episodes. And most importantly, you'll find where to subscribe. Please subscribe and tell your friends to subscribe, especially as we make this transition over to the new series, the new way of know-how 4.0 is really what we're going to be moving over to. You're going to want to make sure you get an audio version, a video version, or a high-definition video version automatically into your device of choice each and every single week. It's the best way to stay tabbed and the best way to make sure that you support the show. Thanks to Megan and to Jason, to Burke, to Alex, to Jammer B, everyone who's made this show possible, especially Lisa and Leo. And let's do it one last time. Megan, Jason.
Yeah.
Now that you know how.
Hit the road and we'll see you next week.
Yeah,
that was horrible.
Okay, now that you know how. Go to Rome.
There you go. Do it, and we'll miss you, man. Peace out.